everybody. I'm Aoife.
And I'm Anya.
And you're listening to You've Got Kids. Today, we're going to discuss finances and rearing a family on a budget. And how we differentiate mammying today to mammying in the previous generation, maybe our own parents.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, they all tie in nicely together. I suppose nowadays, things are very different to when I was reared in the home, you know. Most people nowadays can't afford to have mammy at home, unfortunately. Which is sad, isn't it? Like,
I don't know. Is it, Anya? No, it is sad. It is sad. But I don't know, can people not afford to be at home with their child, to have a parent at home with their child? Are they living beyond their means? Is that what the problem
is? Well, I think there could be a bit of that. But no, there's definitely also... there is definitely an element of people who've, you know, waited quite a bit. Say, for instance, I have family members who bought their houses in the boom. Sorry, today my brain's not working today.
Doesn't work any day. Okay, you can edit that bit out there, Gary.
No, leave it in. I want everyone to know what she's really like. So in the boom time, if you bought your house, you didn't just buy, you know, the average price house. You probably paid 500,000, 400,000. I know people that have paid that, or even 300,000. That's a mad mortgage to have. And so therefore, they do need two people out working. And for that reason, then an awful lot of people put off having children in the first place. And then again, they do have children. They're kind of getting a bit older. And I don't know. I do have cousins and friends who've had to stay at home, to go to work and actually put off having a second child. And I know that's awful, because life should be, at once upon a time, life was always about the family, and then you build life around that. And now it seems that it's the family is built around your life.
Yeah.
Do you know? And so I do agree with you to some extent in regards, because nowadays, everybody wants to have the fancy car, the holidays, and this, that, and the other.
No, but I from looking from the outside, I can see people with very humble holidays, very humble cars, very humble houses, but yet they have to have two incomes to have this humble cars and humble holidays and humble houses. And I'm looking at them from my perspective, I suppose. I'm a full-time mother in the home, and I have seven children. I've always been at home. My children was something that both me and my husband were very adamant that if we were going to be blessed with children, we weren't going to leave them. We were going to rear them ourselves full time.
Yeah.
And so because of that, when we were planning, you know, our future together and our wedding, it came up, you know, where are we going to live? So we had to look. We could have afforded a house in Dublin, but we would have needed two incomes. And it meant... And I didn't know I was going to have children. Well, you know what I mean? At the time, I was thinking I'd be lucky to have one, because, you know, I had had issues when I was younger that might have, you know, not allowed me to have any children. So they said I might need help. But now, so...
And now so, you have seven.
Yeah, I know I have seven. Then I had one 9 months after I got married, and then every 2 years after that. But when we got married, we planned our future around that plan. You know, we planned, we could have afforded in Dublin if we were going to get a mortgage based on both our salaries. But our whole thing was like, Ray was early on in his career, and I would have been the main earner. So we got the mortgage on my salary, but then we moved much further away and we took a much lower mortgage, because our whole thing is, if we have children, we need to be able to afford this place on one income. And that's how we started off. And that's, I mean, maybe I had a wise head on my shoulders, but it would have been very important to me. And I looked at my mother maybe as an example of, and my mother and father, as a happy, contented household.
Yeah.
There was never stress and there was never worry. We were never brought anywhere or dropped anywhere. Nobody else ever came to mind us, because my mother was always there. My father always worked.
Yeah.
And he worked very hard. He worked very hard to afford the house and the lifestyle that we had. But... I mean, we have seven children. My husband is on a grand salary. We manage very well. But he's not on very big books. But we have an okay-ish car. We just got a second okay-ish car. Mm-hmm. Well, it's 12 years old, but it's still a good car.
It's a car. It gets you from A to B. That's all you want. Yeah.
And then we're going on a nice holiday now next month.
Lovely.
And we've been on loads of camping trips. Yeah. And I stand back and then people say to me, we need two incomes to pay our mortgage. And I'm thinking, well, what else do you spend all your money on that you can't afford your mortgage?
It depends on the mortgage, though. See, some people are paying nearly $2,000 for a mortgage. Like, that's hard to believe, but that's actually the truth. There's people paying 1,600, 1,700 mortgage. And then don't forget, we have a housing crisis. So not everyone has a mortgage. So if you're renting in Dublin, you're looking at $2,000 for an ordinary house. Like in Ballyfermot, where I grew up, some of the houses were going for 1,700. 1,700 for a council house in Ballyfermot to rent. Yeah. Now, obviously, it's not owned by the council now, but I grew up in houses. Used to call them the council houses.
Yeah, it's the same where I am now.
And they're just two and three bedroom small houses. They're not four bedrooms. They don't have en suites. They don't have anything spectacular.
Yeah.
And that's the money they're going for.
But I think it's sadness. But see, we're looking at this, but then you don't go for them houses. I know it's very hard. My husband has never lived near his job. Now, he did eventually, he got a transfer to where we were living when we were living out, a little bit more rural. And, but once the mortgage was getting expensive, we got rid of it. We sold the house, we lost money on the house, and we started afresh. And we've been renting ever since. We're hoping now, please God, that we will have another house because we need another house. We have 7 children.
Yeah.
But I'm at home with my children and we never put off having children. And I suppose if somebody saw us from the outside, they would look and they'd say, God, they really struggle. And we don't. I think I have a very good lifestyle. We live on a very tight budget, but we have lovely days out. My children don't do without anything. No. We do have nice breaks. We don't have a nice foreign holiday every year and we don't have the best of cars or the best of gear.
I think you're lucky in that. I think that's because you've obviously a great marriage and a good partnership there as well. But that's not always the case. The reality is it's not. Like, there are women who are living in hotels and they're struggling.
Yeah.
And there's families that have had to move in with their mothers and fathers and they're struggling because, yourself, I don't know about you, but even before we bought our house, I moved back with my mum and dad for 3 weeks. And I love my mum and dad, I really do. But I don't live with them ever again.
I'd love to live with my parents.
No.
Wouldn't have me.
No, you see,
I'd love to live there.
The natural order of things is, right, you grow up and the little birdies leave the nest. And that's how it should be. As much as I love my mum and dad, I absolutely idolise them, worship the ground they walk on. Couldn't live with them though. For 3 weeks. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's just, you just like your own space. You like your own TV time. You like your own kitchen to cook in. You just, you just want that time and that space. And like, my parents are the most easygoing parents that you'll ever meet. Like, but it's just, people need that space. And then if you have kids, can you imagine what it's like? I had a friend who lived with her mother with her 4 children and her partner because they were renting a house. And unfortunately for them, the landlord came back. The house was either going up for sale or he was taking it back. I can't remember. But basically, she ended up having to move into her mother's 3-bedroom house with her partner and the 4 children. Like, how someone in that situation copes?
You manage. I know it's hard.
You would, but long term,
people have been very good to us. I don't think that.
Yeah,
I would never look a gift horse in the mouth. I think I work hard for everything I have.
Of course you do.
My husband works very hard for everything that he gives us and for the lifestyle we live. But at the back of my mind, my whole thing was always, I'm here for the children. That's just my priority. And I was looking at my other friends who were putting off having children until they could afford to have children.
But you know what, though?
And my heart was breaking for them because I'm here at 7. And they're now trying for their first.
I know.
And they're 40,
And they're struggling then. Some of them can't.
But they have a lovely house and they have lovely cars, but they've no children and all they want is children. And they kept on putting it off so much because society's told them that this is what you need.
Yes.
If you have a single income and you have 3 children, you're not getting a mortgage. It doesn't matter what your lifestyle is. And it doesn't matter if you're paying 1700 a month rent. The banks don't want to know that. All they'll see is your single income and you've more than three children. You've four children plus. You're not getting a mortgage.
Do you know what though?
All the council isn't going to give you a house because your husband is earning too much. Bank isn't going to give you a mortgage because you're a housewife, you're at home. And nobody, well, you will find it harder to find somewhere suitable to rent because there's such demand on rented properties that they don't want to rent to a big family because they don't have to. They can have a lovely professional couple or a single woman or...
Well, isn't the system though, I believe it's the system is designed, I believe, this is my own personal belief, the system is designed to make people rely on the system.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think what happens there is when people rely on the system, we give the system more power. And then we had rent caps and everything else, right? I'm probably getting a little bit political there. But what I'm saying is, for a thing, in regards to trying to buy a house and trying to, you know, if somebody wants to have a family, it's the system that is flawed. And we allow it every time. Like, we're allowing this to happen by who we allow into power.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go in too much into that, but I just want to say that because I know...
Yeah, we keep on voting the same people in.
And yeah. I think it's...
And they're screwing the country over. They're screwing families over. And we're voting them back in again.
Hungary have a great policy now for people who are, you know, for families, for staying at home. Like, when you think about it, most people would prefer to have at least one parent stay at home. Sometimes they want the mother to stay home. Most of the time it is. You know, most mammies want to stay with their babies. And sometimes the father wants to stay home. Regardless, the country should be designed in such a way to support families that if one person wants to stay at home that with their children and rear them themselves, they can. Because, you know, you have the state kind of allocating all these childcare costs to childcare professionals. But why aren't they doing tax cuts for families? Why aren't they allowing us to look after our own children? They're willing to pay a stranger to look after your kids, but they're not actually willing to allow you to stay at home and look after your own kids.
Yeah. And like you were saying there, like Hungary are to give women with four or more children lifelong tax exemption. Whereas here, if you're a mother at home, you're penalised because of the tax individualisation.
And even if you are renting and you have kids and you go to get your mortgage, each child accounts for X amount that they're going to not lend you.
And that's why they say you can't afford the children. So the banks are now dictating on how many children a family can have, which is bonkers. If you think about it, we're talking about mammying in a previous generation. You know, I'm one of six and my parents bought a lovely house in Drumcondra on, let's say, one single average industrial wage. It's a nice house. It's near town. It's in Dublin. We had a very happy childhood there. There's no way my husband would ever be able to buy a home for me and the children in that housing estate now. Even though he's on a good job, probably earning more than my father would have, you know, would have earned. And, but there's no way.
It's the taxes and everything else now. Everything, like... When you think about it, going back even, say, to when my mother and father were being married, the natural thing was everybody kind of went, like my grandfather came from Hanby Lane and my nanny was from Pimlico. And then when they got married, they applied for a house off the council. And at the time, that's how they ended up in Ballyferma. And back then, like, it was just a natural thing that, you know, the husband went out to work. And the mother stayed at home with the kids. But they could. Like, even though times were hard, I know my own grandfather, he was very involved in setting up Ballyferma and the credit union going and the college going and the swimming pool and the community games. He was very well-known man in Ballyferma. But back then, people could actually afford to have someone stay at home. And even though we know nowadays that life, I suppose, is demanding in the sense of the cares, the holidays. And I know what you're saying. We do have the humble cares and the humble holidays. That's me. I go camping. I have a really crappy car. But I'm kind of gone off on a tangent here.
That's not like you, Anya.
No, I talk so much that I lose track of what I'm saying. Anyway, the point I'm making is like, nowadays there is an awful lot of a focus on, as you said, before people even have children, is the career, the nice house, the nice car, and then, whereas back then, it really was family orientated.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Because I remember saying to my mum, I was saying, but it was never hard. It was never hard when we grew up. We had everything we want. And my mum was saying,
they struggled.
They struggled. But yeah. I didn't know they struggled because everybody was the same.
Yes.
There was 4, 5, 6, 7 kids in everybody's head. Well, not in everybody's, but not, it wouldn't have been unusual to have 5, 6, 7 kids.
Yeah.
You know, and all the mothers were at home and they all helped mind each other's kids if they were going to the shop. And all the kids played on the road.
And the kids they even didn't married all, each other.
Yeah, but yeah. It was great fun.
Yeah.
And I never thought we struggled. My mum would say, of course we struggled.
Yeah.
But everybody did.
And
we were all in the same boat.
I remember RTE came out to my nanny's house. This is my other nanny now, Mary. And they made a programme called, it was Report. Do you remember that programme? I don't know if you remember. I don't remember. But I just know it was called Report. And it was, thank God they're all healthy. And you see, you know, Mary grew up and blah, 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 and all about my nanny and granddad. But it's just watching it back, like they had so little. And I remember my aunties and all saying she bought the cornflakes for the, because she knew RTE were coming out to the house. We used to eat porridge all the time. She bought cornflakes for that. And then look at the glasses. We used to drink out jam jars, you know. It's just funny the way even back then they had a sense of pride, even though everyone else on the road had nothing. Like,
yeah, but there was no competition amongst the children because the children were all in the same boat.
Yeah,
yeah, and there was no labels because the only label you had was the one that said what size your clothes were. Do you know, on the back of your neck?
And everyone had no shoes. Even some kids walked around with no shoes. Like when you think about it,
not when you were small.
Not when I was small. No, when my dad was small.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, some of the kids on the road wouldn't have had shoes on their feet. Like,
yeah. No, my mum would tell you about her walking all miles and miles to school with her sod of turf. Do you know? Because that was their no central heating or anything.
Yeah.
But maybe people have just a little bit of champagne taste. They do want the nice career. They do want the nice holidays. They do want the trophy house. And I find that people are so busy paying for this blinking house that they don't get time to sit in this house and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I mean, now we're not with a house at the moment, unfortunately. Our landlord sold our house. But, you know, until we do find another house, which will be very soon, please God, we're relying on my mother-in-law's house. And it's fine. It's great. It's not ideal. But I'm at home with the children where I need to be and where they need me to be. And I know people will feel sorry for me. And I'm thinking, don't feel sorry for me. I have actually a great life. I'm very content in my mothering. I'm very content in my status as a mother in the home to my 7 children. I wouldn't even, I would never dream of leaving them. I don't want to leave them.
Yeah.
And even if I couldn't afford to live somewhere, I would move mountains so as I could be there. See, these children are my priority. I know people have, I do feel sorry for mothers who are, you know, under pressure to keep up payments. I do feel sorry for them. I do think they exist. I'm not saying they don't exist. I know them. My own friends, you know, are double income households. But I don't know if I could justify going out and leaving the children to earn money, more money. And my husband would say that men need to stand up and say, I'm going to look after you. I think men are afraid. Not all men, some men, they're afraid because it's a huge pressure. It's not.
I think we're living in a feminist society now where they've just overtaken and been emasculated quite. But there still are, you know, men are still men. Women are still women.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
but it's
sometimes
a huge undertaking. Financially, the sole breadwinner and an earner in a house is a big responsibility.
Of course.
And it's a huge, and it's a big burden to carry. But if you can see the benefits of that, when you see content, happy children, and a happy wife most of the time, that it makes it worthwhile.
But you, do you know what though? Even I do understand that, but you see, I just see it so much with people living in their mother-in-laws with a gang of kids and a husband and whatever else, like, and the mother-in-law and the father-in-law being there. And even though I know, like, you're content and you're happy, and that's a wonderful thing that you are, but there's still those who just want, like, they don't have that.
I wasn't in my mother-in-law's house, and if I was still paying crazy rent in the, like, in the last place, I still could manage on one wage.
Yeah.
And my husband isn't on a massive, massive wage either.
No, I get, and now I do
still manage on one wage. And
you're good with money, obviously. And
well, I don't know. Am I? I buy everything by cash. I don't use. I never tap anything. I always have cash in my hand. I think it's very hard to budget if you're paying for everything on a card.
So, would you take X amount out every week and say, right, that's us for the week?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that's probably a really good way of doing things.
And if I haven't got the money for it, I don't buy it. And if we haven't got the money for the car, we don't buy the car. Yeah. If we haven't got the cash to give the lady and the travel agents or whatever it is, we don't go on that holiday. If we haven't got the money to give to your man in the camping shop, we don't buy that tent. If I haven't got the money to buy that beautiful plasma screen TV, we don't get it. We don't have anything on the drip.
So you're not living without outside your means is what you're saying?
No, that's it. But that's how we planned it. I think you have to kind of look forward a lot. That's how we planned it before we got married.
Yeah, I do. And that's good. Like, I planned, like you, myself and James, we were renting a house in Ballyfermot back before we were married. And what we used to do is we used to have a little rent share, and we'd put our money in every week, 110, I think it was. And then whatever else we had left over would do us for our bills. And then that meant we could save. And we were great savers back then, because I actually was working in a school of hairdressing. I was running the school of hairdressing, so I had a good job. And then he was in college, but he also had the music. So, you know.
Yeah.
We were doing good.
You propped each other up.
We literally were doing good, because he was teaching music as well. And eventually then we bought the house. And I became pregnant on my first, and my mum was diagnosed with cancer, and I lost my job. So even though you might plan for this, that, and the other,
things don't always go to plan.
Then I had a relative in my care at the time as well, just all of a sudden, because somebody was sick, I won't go into that, but like at the time I had a relative in my care, and I just remember I was only 23. And the world was just like, ugh. And like, you know, I didn't know what to do. But like, we did get through it. And I know what you're saying, like, you can get through it. But
it's hard, and you will suffer.
You will suffer. Yeah.
But if you suffer, you get your reward at the end. That's what I just think. And I know suffering is hard. And it does go on an awful long time, a lot longer. I mean, me and my husband are kicking ourselves we didn't buy in the crash. We should have. But we didn't have the money at that time. We have the money now.
But we're wanting to buy now,
and the prices have gone up, unfortunately. So we missed that boat. But our priority was always keep Aoife at home with the children. That's everything. Our focus was always the children. It wasn't the house. It'd be nice to have the house, but we didn't have it. But our rent was more expensive than a mortgage anyway. Our rent was more expensive than the mortgage repayments.
That's the situation most people are in today. Most people are in that situation where they cannot afford the mortgage because they can't get the deposit up because they're living in the house that they're paying 1,700 and 1,800 for, which is madness. And the whole system is designed to fail the youth. And yet the pension pots are gone.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, what's going to happen is we'll have a bunch of 30-something-year-olds only starting to buy their houses if they can afford them. And then they'll have... No wonder we have a drop in the childbirth rate in Ireland.
Well, that's because people are telling you can't afford this child.
I know, it's terrible.
It's awful. And these people are looking at these lovely little babies that are floating around in limbo somewhere that are destined to be with them, that they feel they can't afford, and they can.
Yeah.
It just means you're going to suffer.
It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to suffer.
And now I'm going on like this. I'm actually not suffering.
Yeah.
I think I have a really good life. I know we don't have our own home. Yet. We will have it soon, please God. But even with our rent, which was repayments, which was more expensive yeah. than a mortgage, we still had a good life. You know, my yeah. children never wanted for anything. They did have nice things. We didn't have the likes of the Xbox. We don't. Nobody has an Xbox. Nobody has an iPad. Nobody has, you know, PlayStations. But that's not because we couldn't afford them. We could afford them if we wanted to give them. But yeah. we didn't want our children to have them.
Yeah.
We weren't going to keep up with the Joneses. We weren't giving our children phones and devices just because everybody else had yeah. them. And I think that's the pressure that people feel. And they feel like we can't afford children because we can't give them that lifestyle yet. They don't want that lifestyle. These children just want parents that love them and care for them. That's. I mean, I've a lovely friend at the moment, she's due to go back to work and her heart is breaking. She's crying all the time. And I want to say to her, just don't go back.
Yeah.
But her whole fear is...
Well, hopefully she's listening to this.
I know. Okay, yeah. Well, I won't mention her name. But her whole fear is we can't afford for me to come home. Yeah, stay home. I'm thinking, your mortgage is less than my rent. I have 7 kids.
Yeah.
You've got 2. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, why can't you afford it? Yeah. And she doesn't look like...
But I do think there's 2 sides of the coin there. I definitely think there's 2 sides of the coin because there's also like... you know, for instance, our situation, I'm a stay-at-home mammy, 4 children. He's out walking. He has to work 2 or 3 jobs to basically the car taxes, the school fees, all of this stuff. And I know what you're probably saying, like, but what? We don't like that. My kids don't have all that fancy yeah. stuff. They're too young.
Yeah.
But literally, the food bills, everything else... if then like even if they go to the hospital, we're not entitled to a medical card. We're not entitled to any supplements because
why aren't you? If your husband is
because of his wage, it's just
he's earning too much.
He's probably earning 50 cents over the yeah. tally, but we don't have any medical cards that like that. So if anything happens, like for instance, Avian had her sleep study done at day a few weeks ago, that's €80 that just pops up out of nowhere.
Yeah,
those things do add up. Do you know that? Like, or if one of them is sick and I have to go to the doctors, that's €60. If I'm yeah. sick, that's €60.
I know.
There's all those little things that, you know, I suppose there's probably a good mixture of people who want the cares and the holidays and that. And then there's people who genuinely nearly need 2 incomes.
I think there's people with 2 incomes that don't go to the doctor, don't go on family holidays, don't eat out, and they still can't afford... It actually confuses me. I have a lovely friend now. They have 5 children. And I'd love to sit down with them and say, what do you spend your money on? Because your mortgage is a lot less than my rent.
Yeah.
And yet, they're always stressed about money. Oh, we can't afford this. Oh, we can't afford a holiday. We can't afford this. You know,
bad budget.
No, but they get just... I don't know, because they both would have very good jobs. Very well-paid jobs.
And you know what I find as well, though? The difference between shopping in one shop, I won't mention shops.
Yeah.
And another shop.
Can be huge.
Doing a full week shop.
Yeah.
That can be huge. You can save your money big time. I have people who say, oh, I wouldn't shop there. And I'm like, why?
I plan my meals. I know everybody writes out these lists.
There's lots.
I don't write lists. I go and I see what's on special. And I'd say, right, that the beef... the chicken, the mince, you know, and I plan my meal around what's on specials while I'm in the shopping centre. So let's say there's a special on mince or, you know, I'd say that's grand, that's a bolognese. So I'll get me pasta, me onions, I make all the other ingredients for the pasta bolognese. And then, you know, there's more mince. We'll have a shepherd's pie as well. That's another one. So we'll get the spuds and we'll get the carrots and that, you know, that all goes with that. And then the chicken, oh, that's grand. We have a curry that night. Oh, we have a chow mein and then like, we have people talk about how adventurous my meals are and my dinners are. I really shop on a budget. And then I wonder, how do you spend €350 a week in one shop? Do you know, in Tesco, or you go into a supermarket,
yeah.
how do you spend that much money? I actually can't understand it.
Yeah. No, you're right. There is a good mixture.
But we do get takeaways. I mean, I got a takeaway yesterday for my husband's birthday and I bought him a lovely cake yesterday for his birthday. But that didn't really hit my budget because that was money I have handy.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't know.
I think it's just I think there's a big mixture of the reasons. But at the end of the day, we just have to...
support families.
Support families.
Yeah.
And the next time there's an election, elect people who will support families
they won't.
Hungary.
Yeah, but they won't.
I have faith in the people.
Yeah, no,
I
have no faith in the Irish people, I have to say.
E for H's.
Well, don't mind you, you're all right. Gary's all right.
You're sound.
I'm like Ray. Ray's okay. My husband's nice, my kids are nice. But I have very little faith in the Irish people. I think they just do what they're told. And they'll just vote the same people in that are going to screw them over again and again and again.
Yeah.
So, that's all we got for today. On that note...
Join us next time so we can make you more miserable.
Slum.